As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred in Little Steven's Underground Garage with our throwback coolest conversations from January the 22nd, 2016. An interview I had with the late Kim Shattuck, who passed away on October the 2nd, 2019. In it, we discuss her band The Muffs, their 25 years together at that time as a band, as well as what was their upcoming 25th anniversary show in Los Angeles, which I happened to MC. Getting a chance to speak with her certainly made me feel like a lucky guy. And that's their track we used to set the mood. It's off their eponymous debut album of 1993. So let's hear some of that, and then my talk with Kim on your coolest conversations throwback. This is the Mighty Manfred, and tonight the Underground Garage is presenting the Muffs live in concert at the Echoplex here in Los Angeles, California, along with Prima Donna and Soraya, coming all the way from Philadelphia, with their special guest Chris Rogers in tow. Now, for the Muffs, this is their 25th anniversary show, and right now my peacock feathers are all in full array because I have got the chance to speak with Kim Shattuck of the Muffs. How are you, Kim?
I'm good. I'm excited to play.
Woohoo! Yeah, so 25 years together. Does it seem like just the other day or a couple of years or like 100 years?
Oh, no, it seems like a long, long, long time. I'm surprised it's not like 55 years, honestly. No, it goes fast. It went fast. I love it. It's fun. It's a good thing to do for a living, I think.
Well, let's see. Ronnie Barnett, right? He's been the bass player since day one.
Yeah, right? He's a founder. He's a founding father.
And I know that first lineup also had Melanie Vammen, who you played with in the Pandoras.
Absolutely.
Can you remind us how you guys formed?
Well, a little bit. I was in the Pandoras with Melanie. That was my first band I was ever in, and it was coming to the end of the Pandoras, and I had all these songs I had written. I started writing songs when I was in the Pandoras, but the Pandoras didn't use my songs. And so I just kept trying and trying and trying to get better at my songwriting. And once I felt like I was good at songwriting, I really wanted to start my own band. And I started scheming. And Ronnie, I just had found out, even though I was going out with Ronnie at the time, I just found out, you know, years later that he played bass. I don't know. He just kept that quiet, part of himself quiet. And so I said, oh, you got to be the bass player. And he didn't want to do it because it was going to be hard. It's going to be hard, too hard. Oh, and so I convinced him it was going to be nothing but fun, nothing but fun.
Had he played in other bands?
Not really. Well, kind of. Like in his hometown of Houston, he played in a band called the Aliens when he was I think in high school. And then there was some other band. I can't think of the name, but he was in a band with his teacher, I guess, who I guess was really a cool teacher. And so he hadn't been in it, you know, in a band for a really long time when we decided to do it. And Melanie was in the band too. And then we had to find a drummer, and we asked our current drummer, Roy McDonald, way back then before he was in the band, or before we were even a band, we asked Roy if he wanted to be in the band, and he was moving to Texas also. And so he wasn't in the band at first. His workmate from Warehouse Records was in the band. Crisscross.
Well, when did you get Roy, though? Because he's in the band.
He's in the band now. He moved back in 94, and so we asked him again if he wanted to be in the band, and he said yes.
Okay, so it's been you and Ronnie, you and the two R's for a long while now out of those 25 years.
Yeah, since 94, so I guess it's Roy's 22nd anniversary coming up.
That's close enough to 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so right before we started chatting, we were taking a listen to Lucky Guy. That's kind of like me getting a chance to talk to you, Lucky Guy. Track is off of your self-titled debut in 1993, which was an interesting time musically. You know, I guess grunge was still king. Green Day's Dookie didn't come out until the following year. Did you guys consider yourself a punk band at the time?
You know, I never really ever considered us punk, and but I have interesting, really narrow-minded taste, but I dibble dabble in a lot of different things that I like, and mostly what I like is melodic, you know, aggression, melodic brutal aggression. And then some mellow stuff too, but so I never really considered us punk, but we sort of fit in with a lot of different little categories when we first started because we're noisy, so like, you know, a lot of feedback and just grit and screaming and stuff. So people actually considered us grunge at first, and I didn't, you know, consider us grunge either, but I don't know. We got along with the grunge people pretty good. And then when Green Day hit it big, people started thinking of us as punk. So I don't know. We just go wherever we go. And we're just ourselves wherever we go. I think we try to be anyway.
What were some of your favorite bands from that era? Were any of the, were you partially?
I hated every single band that was out currently. Like, you know, it'd be like Red Hot Chili Peppers and people like that. I'd be like, oh, I hate them. I would always hate every band. That was sort of the reason why I started a band in the first place, is I didn't think anyone was doing it right. And so I wanted to do it myself. But, you know, like now I look back on it, I think there was a lot of we were friends with Mudhoney and the Fastbacks, and I like the Fastbacks. I shouldn't say I hate every band, but
yeah, real.
I like them. Hey, when did the Woggles start?
In 1987.
Oh God, you've been around forever then. Wow.
Yes.
But I just more recently discovered you guys. So if I knew about you then, I would have liked you then, I think.
Well, you know, we've been around forever, but we are eternally fresh.
You are. So, you're very fresh.
Thank you.
Saw you.
You guys were signed to Warner Brothers. So that first album was like on Warner Brothers, a major label deal. So did you ever feel pressured by them to sound one way or another?
No, you know, they were cool, and in fact, I think the reason why we felt comfortable signing with them and then later Reprise, which are on the same umbrella, is because Mudhoney signed with them, and Mudhoney said they had in their contract something that said that they had creative license. They didn't have to do anything they didn't want to do. So we were like, oh, good. 'Cause that was what I was worried about. And, so we never really felt pressured by them at all. In fact, you know, they probably secretly wanted to mold us and stuff, but we were like too stubborn. We'll do it our way.
Well, between your albums Really, Really Happy and your latest Whoop-De-Doo, there was 10 years. So was the band like on a hiatus? I mean, you were still playing shows at that period of time. What was going on in those 10 years?
We were, you know, we were kind of lazy, actually. Not, you know, I would say hiatus because it turned out to be like a hiatus, but we're kind of lazy, too. But I was writing songs at my own leisure, and then I went to college and then did some more studying. But basically,
what did you study at college?
Photography.
Oh, cool.
Nothing real, just photography. No, there was no degrees happening, but everything I do has to do with the creative arts in some way, I guess. But I was writing, but I wasn't writing as often or as pressured as I had been. So I was just doing things at my own leisure, and it took a while. You know, I shouldn't do things at my own leisure because I will take my time.
Well, let's see. The latest album, Whoop-De-Doo, that came out last year. Yes. And I want to ask you, you know, when we can expect a new one. I mean, you got 25 years under the belt. What's going to be in store for the next 25? At least another new record, right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, okay, so after being lazy for all these years, when not pressured, I decided I need to pressure myself more to get off my butt. And so basically I got a bunch of songs under my belt already, and the guys are learning them. So we're ahead of the game of our normal slow pace. So I think this year we'll start recording. I can't guarantee that we'll be done this year, but I feel like I should do things faster now that I'm older. And so I don't want to like just get old age and then die and then, oh yeah, took her forever to record.
Have you not noticed that time seems to move faster as you get older? But
it
you don't
does.
Oh, you think so too?
Oh my God. I liken it to going down the drain when you watch water go down the drain. Like when the water is, I feel like we've talked about this before. I don't know why. I don't know. When the water goes around the drain at first, it goes really slow. It goes around really wide. And then as it gets to the center, it goes and it just goes faster and faster down the drain. And that's how life is.
So tonight at the show, are you going to feature any of these brand new songs, or is it like just stuff from your sets from over the past 25 years, really old songs?
It's going to be a bunch of that because, well, I mean, obviously we have our set list kind of figured out, but I could say we have at least 4 new songs that we're going to feed them in the set list. We're going to work them in to the set list that we feel comfortable with. So there's going to be some, if we're going to record songs, we have to play them live first because they will not sound the same if we don't. So,
oh, I agree.
We've recorded. Yeah. I mean, you've been around the block a few times, you know, like if
my
you don't play them live, what?
I said my tricycle's taken me around the block a few times. It's true.
You have an adult-sized tricycle.
No, it's a child size.
Oh, my.
Yes,
oh
there
my.
You go. So you're going to be playing some new songs tonight. That's really cool.
Yes.
Any other surprises? Any special guests? Any laser light shows happening?
Yeah, you know, we're going to have a big fire show. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're not allowed to do that. Nobody's allowed to do that.
No spontaneous combustion.
No, no. Well, if it's spontaneous, but no planned spontaneous combustion.
Well, that's good to know because I think Roy is a fantastic drummer and I hate for him to explode.
No, I know. If he explodes, there's nothing else to do. We would have to quit.
So folks need to come on down. In fact, they need to get to it. And I get it. And the folks coming down in town tonight to the Echo to see the Muffs, as well as Prima Donna and Soraya, with special guest Chris Rogers. It's the Underground Garage presenting this concert event, 25th anniversary of the Muffs. And you know what we should do? We should go out with the song, I Get It. Album Whoop-De-Doo.
Yeah, do, because we're not going to play that one tonight, but... So you can hear it on the radio right now.
Right. They're going to get it right now. Hey, Kim, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Manfred, on our Coolest Conversations.
Manfred, you're awesome. This is my favorite radio station, and I'm very happy to be on it again.
Aw. Well, I will see you. I will see you tonight. I'll see you tonight.
Okay. I will see you tonight.
Well, right now, though, I get it. The Muffs.
I get it.
Stevens Underground Garage.
I'm underground,
'cause I'm wandering out.
Feel funny, not quite there.
Going round and round to where I stop,
and nobody knows, and that's the way it was. I get it.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Don't let it decide, baby, diamond ring.